Introduction. This is the first story I ever got paid for, the second story I ever got published, and maybe the 30th or 40th story I wrote. I had been writing poetry and fiction ever since my brother Ted, tired of having an illiterate 5-year-old sister around, taught me to read. At about 20, I began sending things off to publishers. Some of the poetry got printed, but I didn't get systematic about sending out the fiction till I was getting on to 30. It kept systematically coming back. April in Paris was the first genre piece, recognizably fantasy or science fiction, that I had written since 1942, when I wrote an Origin of Life on Earth story for Astounding, which for some inconceivable reason rejected it. I never did cinch with John Campbell. At age 12, I was very pleased to get a genuine printed rejection slip, but by age 32, I was very pleased to get a check. Professionalism is no virtue. A professional is simply one who gets paid for doing what an amateur does for love. But in a money economy, the fact of being paid means your work is going to be circulated, is going to be read. It's the means to communication, which is the artist's goal. Chelley Goldsmith Lally, who bought this story in 1962, was as enterprising and perceptive an editor as the science fiction magazines have ever had, and I am grateful to her for opening the door to me. Professor Barry Pennywither sat in a cold, shadowy garret and stared at the table in front of him, on which lay a book and a bread crust. The bread had been his dinner, the book had been his life work. Both were dry. Dr. Pennywither sighed and then shivered. Though the lower floor apartments of the old house were quite elegant, the heat was turned off on April 1st, come what may. It was now April 2nd and sleeting. If Dr. Pennywither raised his head a little, he could see from his window the two square towers of Notre Dame de Paris, vague and soaring in the dusk, almost near enough to touch. For the island of Saint-Louis, where he lived, is like a little barge being towed downstream behind the island of the city, where Notre Dame stands. But he did not raise his head. He was too cold. The great towers sank into darkness. Dr. Pennywither sank into gloom. He stared with loathing at his book. It had won him a year in Paris. Publish or perish, said the Dean of Faculties. And he had published and been rewarded with a year's leave from teaching, without pay. Munson College could not afford to pay unteaching teachers, so, on his scraped-up savings, he had come back to Paris to live again as a student in a garret, to read 15th-century manuscripts at the library, and to see the chestnuts flower along the avenues. But it hadn't worked. He was 40, too old for lonely garrets. The sleet would blight the budding chestnut flowers, and he was sick of his work. Who cared about his theory, the Pennywither theory, concerning the mysterious disappearance of the poet François Villon in 1463? Nobody. For after all, his theory about poor Villon, the greatest juvenile delinquent of all time, was only a theory and could never be proved, not across the gulf of 500 years. Nothing could be proved. And besides, what did it matter if Villon died at Montfaucon gallows or, as Pennywither thought, in a Lyon brothel on the way to Italy? Nobody cared. Nobody else loved Villon enough. Nobody loved Dr. Pennywither either. Not even Dr. Pennywither. Why should he? An unsocial, unmarried, underpaid pedant. Sitting here alone in an unheated attic in an unrestored tenement trying to write another unreadable book. I'm unrealistic, he said aloud with another sigh and another shiver. He got up and took the blanket off his bed, wrapped himself in it, sat down thus bundled at the table, and tried to light a Gauloise Bleu. His lighter snapped vainly. He sighed once more, got up, fetched a can of vile-smelling French lighter fluid, sat down, rewrapped his cocoon, filled the lighter, and snapped it. The fluid had spilled around a good bit. The lighter lit, so did Dr. Pennywither from the wrists down. Oh, hell, he cried, blue flames leaping from his knuckles, and jumped up batting his arms wildly, shouting, hell, and raging against destiny. Nothing.